Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash, and today we are talking about interest rates. Yesterday, the Bank of Canada at the April meeting decided to hold the line on interest rates. That is, no increase this time around, despite some signs of inflation in the marketplace. This is in sharp contrast to the quarter point interest rate hike that was just recently announced by the Federal Reserve in the United States. Economies of Canada and the U.S. are very tightly linked, and often what happens in the U.S. happens in Canada as well. It's said that when the U.S. sneezes, Canada catches a cold. So let's analyze this from a couple of different perspectives. First is on real estate markets in Canada. Back in January, at the beginning of the year, Canada Mortgage Housing Corporation, which is the underwriter for most mortgage insurance in the country, imposed a new set of guidelines for a qualifying rate. That is to say, if let's say the interest rate is at 3.5%, in order to qualify for that 3.5%, it would be underwritten as if the interest rate was 5.5%, a full 2 percentage points above the current interest rate. So that's had the effect of cooling the market significantly nationwide. And in particular, the highest value markets, specifically Toronto, Vancouver, and Calgary, have seen a significant pullback in transaction volume since the introduction of this new qualifying rate. Of course, the biggest debtor of all is the federal government, because they actually have the most debt, and they can least afford an increase in the interest rate. So what the government has effectively done is they've created the cooling effect of a higher interest rate with a qualifying rate without the reality of a higher interest rate. The second thing that that affects is foreign exchange. Canadian treasuries and U.S. treasuries are considered about the same quality of debt. So all of the things being equal, if one country or the other increases its interest rate and the other one doesn't, that's going to precipitate a swing in currency from Canadian dollar to the U.S. or vice versa, and thereby affect, in the short term, the foreign exchange rate, because that other currency all of a sudden is more attractive, offering a higher interest rate. So this time around, we could see a devaluation of the Canadian dollar as, relatively speaking, the U.S. dollar is starting to look a bit more attractive. That will help exports, and Canada's economy is highly resource-based, the single largest commodity, of course, being petroleum. Since oil is priced in U.S. dollars, a slight decrease in the value of the Canadian dollar would definitely benefit Canadian producers of oil in the global market. Next month, in the month of May, the Bank of England will be setting its benchmark rate, and we'll be looking very closely to see what they do in the U.K. And of course, their situation is much more complex, with economic shifts as a result of Brexit. They also have a very high petroleum content to their economy with the North Sea oil projects. And we are starting to see companies that had previously invested in the UK for access to the European market starting to move their headquarters to other locations in Europe so as to maintain a foothold in the European Union. I don't know for certain, but my guess is the British are going to want to see the British pound slightly lose value and favor exports to counteract the headwinds that they're facing as a result of Brexit. The other major factor at play here is what's happening with the trading of oil on a global basis. For the first time last month, China and Saudi Arabia inked a deal for China to buy oil denominated not in U.S. dollars, but in yuan. Of course, both China and Saudi Arabia are major holders of U.S. treasuries. But this precedent-setting transaction is a real assault on the United States position as the world reserve currency. If countries no longer have to trade oil in U.S. dollars, they no longer need to purchase U.S. dollars, the global demand for U.S. treasuries may fall. And in order to make those treasuries more attractive, after all, the U.S. government still needs buyers for the U.S. treasuries, the U.S. government may feel pressure to increase interest rates in order to make U.S. treasuries more attractive. That, of course, is a dangerous game, because at the end of the day, if they increase interest rates too much, it increases the risk of the U.S. government being unable to service its own debt, thereby precipitating a default, and that will certainly kill the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. What all this means is that these currencies are, in fact, a means of exchange. They're not necessarily a store of value, because the value is going to be fluctuating month to month, quarter to quarter, as interest rates and commodities get traded around the world. You want, as much as possible, to keep your wealth stored in hard assets. Those hard assets intrinsically don't lose value. When the price of a three-bedroom house goes up tenfold over the span of 30 or 40 years, it's not that it went up in value, it's that the currency was devalued by that amount for the most part. So when you sell an asset, you're going to buy dollars, but at the same time, you don't necessarily want to be sitting on those dollars for too long, because you are potentially losing value. You want to trade those into another hard asset that's going to retain its value. The Bank of Canada holding the line on interest rates may sound like a non-event, but when viewed in the larger global context of the international flow of money, it can have an impact. In the meantime, as you're pondering this, have an awesome day. make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.